You're listening to ESPN 97.5, your home for sports. Presented by Rice University, Jones Graduate School of Business MBA program. KFNC Mount Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Here they come, yo. Here they come. All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN. 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, Bankstown? Hey, it's a Tuesday on The Usual Suspects, and everyone is present and accounted for. Barry's here, Nick's here, I'm here, so hopefully let the fun begin. And for the next 3 hours, you will be entertained as we like to do, and I would like to say like no other, but I think we're unique in that regard.
Well, at least like most no others, right? Is that it? No? Like, how do you say almost like no other? Like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, there's three others that do it better.
According to Texture, if you want to get analytical, that is indeed the case. Yeah. But overall, we're the number one sports station in the market, and that's the most important thing.
Suck on that.
And
proud of it.
Let the show begin.
Come out talking mess. That's what it's all about right there. You know, you got flex on them a little bit.
Man's got to do what a man's got to do, and it's always good to have the backing.
That's right.
Oh, right?
Yeah, well, when you have the numbers to support it, that's the main thing.
No doubt about it. So what I missed?
Well, I went by Chick-fil-A, but I went over to the one at 610 and Shepherd because that's Jennifer and them brought
right
us a bunch of Chick-fil-A. Yep. So I thought I would do the old payback and went over there. Busiest Chick-fil-A I've ever been to in my life.
Is that right?
It is so packed. It is so popular. But I'm not gonna lie, right in, right out. That's the beauty of Chick-fil-A. They get you in, they get you out quick.
They're normally busy anyway, right?
Yeah, most Chick-fil-A's are. But I had no issues. It was busy, but I had no issues. Got it in, got it out. And thanks again to Jennifer for bringing us that Chick-fil-A. So yeah,
you might want to isolate that.
No,
one, Nick.
There's no need to do that. Don't start. Don't you start with me, Nick.
I think I deleted a lot of them, honestly.
But you just missed
really?
The perfect one. Got it in, got it out.
I don't think I'm going to use that stuff no more. I'm going to be good about that.
Oh, oh wow. What happened? Did
I'm
you get in trouble?
Be nice.
Did you get your hand slapped for
no,
trying to make us look bad?
Not at all.
Turn over a new leaf?
The boss was just in here. Or one of the bosses was just in here.
Was he with somebody?
Yeah.
Who?
I don't know.
Client?
He was giving a tour.
Oh, I don't know who. Okay. Yeah, we do get tours. Maybe I shouldn't have started off by talking mess right away.
Well, yeah, she
that's
heard
why I
everything.
I said that because okay. I thought you could see who was in there.
No.
But the minute you said suck on that and I looked in
she
there,
laughed.
She
was all good.
She was like, huh?
She laughed.
Okay.
It's just another day on do? The Usual Suspects.
That's right. I don't,
we're
you
not
know?
Changing the show.
Oh, of course not. I mean, this goes out to thousands upon thousands of people. Like, I'm going to change what I do because one person's here. I don't even change what I do when Mr. Gal's in there.
I know.
I'm not changing that. This is what we do. This
pretty
is how
dumb.
You become the fourth best show in your market and whatever.
You know how people self-promote in this market? Just promote us. Just to be it's good to be one of the top shows on the best sports station in the market.
B-team number one in the time slot. Suck it.
What is it? Barry?
That's how it
Blank
works.
And who?
Bitch.
There you go.
The B-team.
The B-team.
That's right.
Taking over Channel 2, taking over the airwaves here. We're all good in the neighborhood. So anything last night happened that pops into your mind that
I'll be honest,
eventful.
I'm a little upset.
Why?
So I was watching the game.
Which one?
The Clippers.
Oh yeah.
And when they were up by about 31, I was like, "Well, this is over. I'm gonna go play video games."
You and me both.
And then later on, I'm done with the video games. I click over to SportsCenter before I go to bed, and I'm like, "What?" What happened? 31 points. I was like, this is no brainer. This is Golden State in the playoffs. No way Golden State loses a 31-point lead to the Clippers, to the 8 seed at home in the playoffs. Because remember, they were coasting. They were just waiting on the playoffs.
Yep.
Whoops. Holy crap. I should not have played video games.
So you're missing one key element.
DeMarcus Cousins getting hurt. Well, that doesn't help them their cause at all. But let's be real. They were winning championships without DeMarcus Cousins. They shouldn't have lost that game.
No, there's no doubt about
it.
Not
an excuse at all, and I don't know if there's anybody in Oakland making those excuses, but they can save that drama for their mama because this is a team that won championships without DeMarcus Cousins. They don't need that cat.
Well, and here's the thing. The bigger thing, which I think the Rockets played a huge part in kind of starting, which was getting into Kevin Durant's head. They started messing with KD last year, and then he took it as a personal challenge, and it completely changed their entire offense because he was trying to dominate a guy that was almost a foot shorter than him. He was trying to make a point.
Mm-hmm.
But now when you look at it, and of all people, Stephen A. made the point this morning too, which I was thinking when I woke up this morning, but it's spot on. You got a guy that we were talking about that got his should have been suspended 16th technical of the regular season in the final regular season game. He fouled out, or he got thrown out of game one because he let Pat Beverly get in his head, and then he fouled out of game two. This dude is fragile right now.
I don't ever remember him getting teed up like he did this year. I think not while he was a Thunder. When he was a Thunder man,
he didn't have 15 technicals in a season.
I think moving to Golden State and the media and the general public saying that he was a front runner and taking the easy route, I think all that got to him and it put him on edge, and his nerves are fragile, and he gets teed up a lot now.
Yeah, the whole kind of supplanting LeBron James as public enemy number one for creating the super team and his whole decision to go to Golden State kind of got under his skin because he doesn't like being the enemy. He liked being the darling of the league. But this year in particular, you're right, because then you throw into all the other things that we're talking about, joining the super team, then winning the titles, all that stuff. But now he's going to be a free agent, and he didn't like all the people coming at him in every city going, so where are you going to go?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? And then he had that bitch fit. So he definitely is fragile right now. It's going to be interesting to see how they play through this. The biggest thing that I give him credit for is the Bogut pickup, because I was talking to the guys this morning. When you look at it, Bogut is a big pickup, just like Cantor was for the Blazers. But it's even bigger because he knows the system. He knows what to do and definitely what not to do, like try to command the ball. And the fact that Boogie at times was pissing off the rest of his guys because he wanted the ball so much, Bogut kind of fits right in, if he's in decent shape, to where it's not that big of a loss for them.
Yeah, I don't have the box score in front of me, but he led the team in rebounding. If I recall, 9 rebounds was the team
Bogut
high. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. So, he does is defend, block shots, and get out of the way, score. Set some screens. But here's the other thing. We talk about this a lot. Some guys, we even mentioned the Harden things from time to time. Some players, some teams need external motivation to get them going. And like you were saying, you know, I'm a firm believer they think they can flip the switch, that the regular season just doesn't motivate them. But this is one of those deals where be careful what you wish for, because from a Golden State perspective, now they're going to start the whole narrative of, oh, no one thinks we can do it now. Now that we lost Boogie, we don't have a chance. And they'll use that to try and refocus. Now, I'm not saying it's going to work, but I'm saying just keep that in the back of your mind, that this also may motivate this team more as a team that could get complacent winning back-to-back titles in 3 and 4 years.
Well, there's no doubt that a team that prides themselves on defense leading to offense, and that's how they build big leads on other teams, just had a defensive collapse. If you're up by 31 and they gave up 85 points in the second half to the Clippers, and the Clippers were surprised a lot of people, and you know, getting the 8 seed, and they've got a lot of young talent, no superstars, I don't feel like, but the Warriors have their hands full, and I'll still stand by what I said. I don't think the Clippers will beat them, but they're susceptible in these playoffs. They're definitely not a lock to win a championship. But you know what's funny is, with all the parity in the league, who is?
The NBA is loving this first round.
Boy.
There's absolutely no doubt. They're loving all the series that are tied up in 1-1. I still think the Warriors win it in 5. I still think that they'll take care of business. Again, even in this series, I think the warning shot and the wake-up call has been sent, regardless of whether Boogie goes down or not. So I firmly believe that they're going to take care of business. But what I don't like is there are people out there that are celebrating Boogie's injury.
Yeah, that's not good.
All I can tell you is I need to only remind you of Chris Paul's hamstring less than a year ago. Don't wish injury upon anyone.
Did you see the picture of it where it was all balled up in a knot? Ugh.
Who, Boogies?
Yeah.
Well, the word's already come out to Shams Charnia. Came out with was the first one that I saw that actually had the official medical diagnosis, but it's a torn quad. Left quad. Yeah. I would assume that means he's out for the playoffs.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Probably, you know, he'll be back by the start of the next season, obviously. But, yeah, I think for sure he's out for the playoffs.
Here's the last thing on
that. The picture is disgusting, though. It's just a big ball of muscle.
Oh, so it rolled
knotted up? Yeah.
Like an Achilles?
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. Boogie was banking on, and we talked about this, take less money, one-year deal, win a title, get that off the get that on the resume, off the checklist, and then get cash in on a big deal this next season. I don't think that big deal's coming now, because now you're coming off an Achilles and a torn quad. Mm. I think, if anything, though, I think the Warriors benefit, because I think he resigns with Golden State for another year short-term deal to have to reprove himself all over again.
Sure. Yeah, that makes the most sense. But, you know, I think you're saying you still stick by Warriors in five, and that's probably the safe bet, but don't count this Clippers team out from giving them a fight. You got guys like Pat Beverly and Montrezl Harrell, yes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like it or not, I don't know why this dude isn't a starter, but Lou Williams is a star on that team. Him and Montrezl Harrell both should probably be in the starting lineup. But they love the fact that these guys can come in and pay dividends. These guys can come in against the second team of other teams and dominate them. And you know, whatever they lack from starters, they make up for in their depth. And the guys like Lou Williams, guys like Pat Beverly, and I'd say to a certain degree, guys like Montrezl Harrell, they're not scared of the Warriors. They're not scared to face these guys and play against them, because going back to, you know, the experience that they have, they're all vets, but also some of the run that they had with the Rockets and some of the limited success that they may have seen against the Warriors here and there, regular season otherwise. So I don't know that they're going away without a fight. They're definitely, I don't think they're winning, but Kenny Smith said he goes, a game like that means this series goes six now, because all they got to do is win one at home and they at least go six. That's not good for the Warriors either.
No.
Hey, you want to be done as quickly as possible, obviously.
But. And be healthy. But it also behooves the Rockets to take care of business as quickly as possible, too. So they're as healthy as they can be going into a team that's somewhat wounded. So it'll be interesting to see. But for Rockets fans, too, to at least say that this is something that's going to affect them, it's obviously going to affect them, because you remember the last matchup between these two teams? Boogie Cousins was a main reason why the Warriors beat the Rockets in that game at Toyota Center, because mm-hmm. they went to the low post, they went down and gave him the ball when they needed a bucket, and he got it on Capella. Now with him out of the mix, changes the whole dynamic of an offense that, whether it's the old Warriors or not, it's an offense they've been running all year long.
Yeah, Looney and Bogut don't scare you nearly as much.
Yeah, not at all. So with that being said, we're just getting started. Talking some NBA playoffs, talking some Rockets, talking some other things. If you want to join us, HR&P Listener Line, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text. Also, you can hit us on Twitter, where it's at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at The Producer Nick. Before we head to the break, though, I want to tell you, we got a new sponsor on the show. It's iHeart Carpet Cleaning. When's the last time you've really cleaned your carpets and flooring? You know, with kids and pets. Especially over time, the dirt really gets ground in, and you need to do something about it. Well, iHeart Carpet Cleaning is going to come to your home. And it starts with the owner, Danny Montiel. He's the guy that's going to have your carpets and your floors looking like new. He cleans tile. He cleans grout. They do it all for you. And it starts with a free demo. They'll test a small section of your floor and show you the difference a professional cleaner can do for you. And you're going to be amazed. You're an ESPN listener, you're going to cash in. Three rooms clean, just $97.50. See what they did there? $97.5. Here's what I like, too. They don't use harsh chemicals. Their natural steam cleaning techniques leave your floors sparkling clean and safe for your family, your pets, and everybody else. And guys, you may not think about carpet cleaning very often, but I'll bet your wife does. So get some bonus points at home. Call iHeart Carpet Cleaning today. Call Danny right now. Three rooms, only $97.50. His number, 832-926-8049. Tell him Joel Blank from ESPN sent you. 832-926-8049. Give him a call.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Just getting started on The Usual Suspects on a Tuesday.
Yeah, fellas, you know what that normally tips me off to remind you of? We need a theme for Way Back Wednesday tomorrow. I know we've already had at least one suggestion.
Which was?
El Jefe, who said, songs from years Tiger won the Masters. We can just put it in the mix.
Yeah, I heard somebody else say, what is that noise?
What noise?
Oh, that was you.
I
thought somebody was clicking a pin. I was like, what's going on? I thought it was Nick. He always ruins the show.
He didn't fart.
Yeah. Somebody said something about just anything that has to do with a tiger. I'm like, no, that's just too specific. That's like FBI.
Or
that's
baseball.
That's
like choosing baseball as a theme.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind. I mean, what were the years again?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
05.
Well, it was 11 years ago.
First one was, what, 97, I think?
Oh, don't catch me lying.
Yeah, so that would be a little bit of research on our
I wouldn't mind end. That. That's probably a good one.
Yeah, because up until, I think all of them, three of them fall into.
I feel like you should just be able to rattle this off as the golf.
See, I saw your tweet, and you know that I've always been a Tiger guy. I just haven't been vocal about it, but I know that.
Saw my tweet.
The one tweet about people jumping on the Tiger bandwagon.
Oh, yeah, they're everywhere.
Yeah, they are.
They're everywhere. All of a sudden, everybody's a Tiger fan.
Yeah.
I couldn't find anybody tweeting about Tiger Woods. Nobody. Not, like, everybody was just, you know, oh, poor. Now all of a sudden, here comes all these bandwagon. It's the same guys that have LeBron jerseys in Cleveland and Miami. They're huge Heat fans, and then they were big Cavs fans again. Now they're big Laker fans. It's like, I don't know. Outside of you and maybe a few others, very few people even thought Tiger Woods was going to win another major. Right. So, I mean, let alone another tournament.
I wanted to get your thoughts on that after reading that tweet. I was like, I got to get Barry's thoughts on the air about all the people that decided that because he won, they would wear their red Nike shirts, their black pants. They tried to be like dressed just like Tiger either that day or the next day.
Oh, that's just horrible.
I mean, seriously, isn't that as bad as a grown man wearing a jersey?
It is.
Yeah.
Masters tournament wins 97, mm-hmm. 2001, 2002, 2005,
oh.
2019.
So we got four of them.
So, yeah, we can't do obviously this year.
Right.
But we could do 97, 01, 02 and 05. I'm down with that. I like that idea
actually. I'm cool with that too. Nick, that 97 was one of your most hated years, was it? It was earlier than that? So we're good with that?
Yeah. His was like 82 or 81 or something like that. So, all right. Well, cool. Then we've got that done. Expect my list before 2 o'clock.
Not shocking. Also, you know how we like to do the suspects? We like to take care of them for taking care of us by listening to the program. So, therefore, we're going to have some giveaways. We have one in the second hour, one in the third hour. So, stay tuned for that as we'll have some tickets to some events coming up that you may or may not want to partake in. But I don't think you're going to want to miss these. So, we'll have those to come up in the second and third hour of the show. So, look forward to that. Did you watch any of the other games?
I did.
Last night, you watched the Philly game?
I did.
Thoughts on that?
I think that it's funny. Holly tweeted this out, and it's so funny to me, the Philly fan base and all that, because she was like, man, the place is rocking, and look at that Philly fan base. I'm like, you mean the same fan base that booed the entire team the game before? And then, you know, Simmons, I thought, ooh, this is going to be interesting. He needs a big game because all that mess he talked about the fans in the post game after that game one loss, that's going to be interesting. So, it was an impressive win. I think the best way to describe Brooklyn is scrappy. And if you're described as scrappy, you're not winning anything.
But aren't they the Clippers of the East?
I mean, I heard somebody say that. No.
Someone said that? That just popped into my mind because we just got done talking to the Clippers.
Kenny Smith said it after the game yesterday. He said, yeah, that they're the Clippers of the East. And I don't even think that's the case. They're just a scrappy team that, you know, I think the Clippers have more talent.
I think the Nets are better shooters.
Clippers are deeper than the Nets.
people just sleep on names they haven't heard of before, but I think the Nets are a pretty talented team. Spencer Dinwiddie's not a guy that's on anybody's radar in terms of a big name, but dude can play.
They had one guy score double figures on their starting team.
Which was D'Angelo Russell,
yeah, he
right?
had 16. Yeah. This is the other four guys' contributions. 4 points, 6 points, 8 points, 9 points. I wouldn't exactly call that. I mean, the Clippers had two guys on their bench score 25 plus. Okay,
from a Clippers perspective, like you just got done saying, though, that's the way they want it to be. They want Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams to go nuts and run roughshod on anybody else's second unit. But New Jersey. Brooklyn still has a lot of good young talent that they're developing, but they shoot the ball so well.
Okay.
I mean, I give them credit for that. Although, you know, to be a playoff team, no one gave Brooklyn a sniff this year.
Oh, no. You're right on that. I don't think anybody did. But
my biggest takeaway from the game last night was the Sixers played good for a half. And evidently, Brent Brown got up in their ass at halftime and lit them up and lit a fire. But I was all about, I thought Embiid should have got tossed last night. I thought that not only was it uncalled for, the act with the elbow, but I thought that when you look at the definition of the rule, I thought it was excessive. I know that Shaq and Charles were debating it at halftime, and I totally was on Charles' side that whether he had both hands on the ball or not, I think he had intent there, and he delivered a really, really could have been devastating blow. But I thought that what really ticked me off was after the game, they laughed about it.
I don't know. Like, I see Shaq's point about it. Like, I see what he's saying about if you have two hands on the ball, you're allowed to turn. But there's a difference between turning and, I mean, he threw the elbow.
It was
violent.
There's
no doubt about it. Just because you're holding the ball doesn't mean you can't throw an elbow. You can hide the fact that you're throwing an elbow. He went elbows up. I'm with you. I think that was a flagrant two, and he should have been tossed. But, you know, Shaq, according to the letter of the law of how big men are taught how to play the position, two hands on the ball, put your elbows out, and turn around. That wasn't just turning around.
Right.
That was turning around with the intent to elbow somebody in the head.
Now, I don't know if you saw the post game or not, but if Embiid comes out after the game and apologizes, okay. All right, I can say, all right, we can move beyond it. But the way Philly handled this, and now granted, if I set the scene for you, Embiid's on the podium with Ben Simmons, and they ask him about the incident. And here's how it sounded.
Joe, was it a point to be more physical tonight, both ends of the court? And were you surprised that you got a technical on the elbow swing through at the end of the second quarter?
I wasn't surprised. I saw the replay, and obviously it wasn't intentional. I got him pretty good, and I'm sorry about it. But okay. I'm sorry about it. It wasn't intentional, but it's just me trying to be aggressive. I'm not usually humble. That's why he's laughing. But, I was just trying to be aggressive.
BS. Ben Simmons started it by laughing. Embiid finished it like that. And I'm sorry, but after the cell phone incident in game one and this crap in game two, I'm already done with the Sixers. I mean, they're immature. They're ticking me off. And now, if there's any team that I hope gets crapped on more than the Sixers, I can't find one.
I don't really have a problem with
it. I hate
hearing it. That didn't bother me one bit. I mean, it's no different than, I mean, he did it. We all know what the intent was, him laughing about it. The thing is, he did say he was sorry, right?
Did he?
He did.
While he was laughing?
He said, I'm sorry. I mean, you don't know why he was laughing. Maybe it was true that he was laughing about him being. I don't see what the big deal is about that. It'd be different if he's like, yeah, I elbowed him and I wish I'd have knocked him out. Then you're being a jerk. But that, I don't know.
We agree to disagree because it really ticked me off. And the fact that Simmons was there, you know, kind of egging him on, laughing about it, and they were both like, it wouldn't go away. And then even within the second apology, he's still laughing about it. And it's just a bad look, especially after what happened in game one. It's like this team is supposed to be focused, dialed in. And then after this crap, I'm like, God, these guys got to grow. I know they're young kids, but they got to grow up, man. And if they really have aspirations of going far in the playoffs, that's not the look they need.
I mean, I get it if it happened to the Bucks or like a team you root for, but no. You don't have anything invested.
I'm talking about
in
the integrity of the game.
But you're
the
like, integrity
of the game.
It really pissed you off, but it's not even your team.
It doesn't matter. It's for the integrity of the game. The fact that he goes, you know, it's
he didn't
one
even
thing,
get thrown out.
Right, which he should have. And there's a lot of people that believe.
If it was intentional, and I didn't see the whole game. Like, I didn't see how they were, like, interacting
no,
before that
later
play.
Later on, after the elbow, the interaction between him and that cat. I don't know, what's that cat's name? I forget.
I think it was Allen. Jared
yeah,
Allen.
Jared Allen from Texas.
Yeah, Embiid stumbled over him, fouled him, and pushed him in the back, going up for a rebound. Like, literally knocked him into the first row of the photographers on the baseline and went over, patted him on the chest on his way to go sit down. There was no animosity. That's why I'm saying I don't think it's that big of a deal. It's not like Beverly and Durant or there was going to be a fight or anything.
Yeah, I just thought it was a dirty play, and I thought that he should have been punished more. And at the very least, in the press conference afterwards, he should have been a little bit more remorseful than the way that sounded to me. So, all right, we'll continue to roll on. Half hour in, 3 hour show. Plenty more to get to if you want to join us. 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text. That's the HRNP listener line. Or hit us up on Twitter. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Half hour into The Usual Suspects. We'll take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7 right here on ESPN 97.5. If Doc Rivers wasn't happy enough, whether you say he got lucky or not in getting that win last night, coming back from a 30-plus point deficit and beating the Warriors, earlier in the day, I would say that he has to feel like things are lining up well for him. If you haven't heard this yet, he was walking the streets of San Francisco, reached into his pocket evidently to get his cell phone, and dropped a load of cash. He talked about it in his press conference pregame.
Last thing, shout out to the San Francisco person who, at the corner today, I was walking down the street. It's a true story. I reached in my pocket to grab my phone, unbeknownst to me. Dropped about $2,000 on the floor, on the street. Kept walking, didn't know it. The guy tapped me on the back and said, you know, that's your money. I don't know a lot of places that would happen. But it happened today, so whoever that was, you could have had free tickets if you hadn't ran away. So, anyway, thanks, guys.
So, a couple things. One, what are you doing carrying $2,000 in your pocket exactly. in cash?
I feel like that was just Doc Rivers flossing right there. He's like, watch, I'm going to show him how much I got.
Because, you know, the only you don't even
Oops, did I drop that? My bad.
Some teams are nicer than others. Like when you get on the plane, they hand out your per diem, and some will just hand you a check. Others will actually make it in cash so that the players can have their meal money ready to go. Not that they ever need it, because they give them all their meals almost for free anyway.
Right.
But, you know, from that first glance, I'm like, what are you doing with $2,000? And secondly, if you're the dude that found it, right? If you are that honest, more power to you. But you're just going to hand it to him and run? You ain't going to stick around and go, how about a little something for the effort? I mean, if this is 2G, I would assume he's going to kick you at least a hundo.
Okay. So my first question to you guys. You know where I'm going with this, right, Nick?
Yeah, kind of. But I don't want to. I'm going to let you roll.
What?
I'm going to let you do your thing.
Would you give the money back?
See, that's what I'm saying. Because Nick and I talked about this before the show, too.
It's conditional.
I was like, man. To do the right thing, I would give it back, but I would give it back thinking that I was going to get some kind of kickback.
Doc Rivers, he's a likable dude. If it was Greg Popovich, he wouldn't have seen a dollar.
Really? It's
he
like
wouldn't
that?
Have seen a damn dollar. Until you answer one of my damn questions, Greg Popovich, you better not drop no cash on Westheimer or anywhere near the Houston area because you ain't getting it back.
Okay. All right. Now, let's just exclude for the moment that you know Doc Rivers and Greg Popovich because I'm guessing it's they don't know him in San Francisco. Like, they just saw a guy.
Right.
A black guy dropped two
grand. Maybe they're not a basketball fan.
And they were like, oh, yeah, this black guy dropped $2,000. I'm going to go give it to him. They don't know who he is. So my question is, if you don't know the guy, if you just were at a walking downtown, waiting on the light to turn green so you could cross the street, and the guy in front of you reaches in his pocket, $2,000, wadded up, rubber band style, falls on the ground, and he walks off and doesn't know. No one's around. What are you doing?
I'm giving it
you
back,
had to put
honestly.
Too many details in
no,
there.
No, I'm giving you a scenario.
Here's the thing.
Don't avoid it.
It's
what
San
are you
Francisco.
Doing?
There's got to be more people around. But Joel, I'm giving Joel's it back. I'm giving it back. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to give it back.
Because you're worried about getting caught.
No, because...
You said there was more people around. That means more people could witness.
No, okay. But you know what? Even still, if I saw it happen, if I saw it fall out of his pocket... I'm going to give it to him because it happened right there in front of me just like that. If I'm walking down the street and I find it and I didn't see it fall out of his pocket, that's a different story. Now I'm going to hang on to it. I may hang on for a little bit, see if there's anybody like, but it's straight cash and there's no way to say this person or that person can lay claim to it. It's a different story.
So you're saying if you just found $2,000, you're keeping it. If
yeah.
you
saw a few it days fall out first.
Of, if I saw
I'm taking it straight to the police and turning it in. What are you talking about?
You're okay. a lying
you
ass.
Lying.
I'm totally lying.
Yeah.
Putting that stuff in my pocket right immediately. Now, I'm with you, though. If I saw someone drop their money, my conscience wouldn't allow
right.
me to just not, like, kick it to the side, stand on it, do the old, just stand there for a little while, let them get far enough away, put it in the pocket and walk off. I don't know. I couldn't live with myself because I'd be like, man, that's so dirty. What if that was me? Now I'm just going to have bad karma, bad juju. Like, yep. there's just going to be stuff that happens to me that I can't explain. It's going to be because of this. That's honestly... Nick, we know you would keep it.
No,
Nick,
I wouldn't.
For you'd buy
a horse and crack
Barry's
with
response,
it. We know.
But I think you might walk with it.
Yeah. No, I really wouldn't. I would return it right away, honestly. Even if it was Greg Popovich. Honestly.
If you saw it fall out of his pocket.
Yeah.
But are you with us that if you just were walking down the street and you found it, that's a different story.
That is kind of a different story. But I for the most part, I would put an effort to returning that returning that wallet. It actually happened to me in Dallas, man. When we
you
were
lost
at the
box,
I lost my wallet sitting on it. I fell off. Like, I was sitting on a bar stool at a bar called Happiest Hour in Dallas. And I think Joel was either flew back to Houston or
I think
he was
that
up,
was Saturday. You were texting me from there.
Yeah. And I literally dropped the wallet, and it didn't have no $2,000. It probably had $150.
$6.
Yeah, like $12 and like a couple quarters and the
Subway token.
Yeah, maybe there was like a free Jersey Mike's voucher that I had that I really wanted to keep. But
some Section 8 stamps.
And the guy sitting at the table behind, I was at the bar, and the guy sitting behind me, he's like, "Hey, bud, you just dropped your wallet," and he gave it back to me.
Ooh.
So, got to give some credit to Dallas. But at the same time, it was a very busy bar. So, like, there was a chance that someone else would have seen him take that wallet. He looked like an honest guy, but I mean, I offered him a drink. I felt like the thing about a kickback, like, when he's an older dude that seems like he's established and has money and he's kind of in a nice spot. Like, wouldn't a kickback be kind of disrespectful?
No, I think you handle it the right way. I think if you just offer to buy him a drink, say, let me get you something for saying
him and his wife.
Gratitude.
I said a round of drinks for him and his wife and that table, which was only a table of four, but they all denied it. They all said no.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that I don't feel like I've done that before where I'll see somebody sitting somewhere, like, and you'll just reach over and be like, ma'am, your wallet fell out of your purse, or sir, your credit card's on the floor right there. I don't think that's that big of a deal. Like, that's just common human decency. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
I'm with you. I've done that too. Yep.
But, I mean, on the street, you're just finding it. That's a little different. But if somebody dropped it, I'd be like, sir, you dropped your you dropped your cash there.
But Randy Mawson, if you're walking down the street and there's just $2,000 laying there, I'm picking it up for sure. And then it's like, okay, if it's just on the street, it's not like you dropped it in a store where you can go, hey, to the storefront, someone dropped this. And, you know, if it doesn't get claimed into so many days, a lot of people would say something. But, like, you don't even know where it came from. There's no way to trace it back. So where would you go? The police?
And it was cash, too, because obviously if it was $2,000, it was be too many bills to fit in the wallet, right? Or you probably could. You know, it's 20 bills.
It's a pretty big wallet.
I mean, if they're all hundreds.
Yeah.
I think we've all fooled everyone into thinking we're good people. The next question is, why is Doc Rivers coming out with a specific amount?
He said like about 2,000.
Like I said, he's just out there flossing. Let's be real. Like, he could have just said, I was out. I just wanted to say thank you to the anonymous person that found my money. I was out walking around the streets of San Francisco, reached in my pocket to get my cell phone. I had some cash on me. It dropped out. That person was kind enough to point it out or bring it to me. He had to give us a very specific $2,000.
I mean, we know he's rich. We know he's rich.
Exactly.
But we
already That's know. That's my point.
I'm with Barry
That's
on
like
this
Bill
one.
Gates being like, well, I was walking around Seattle, and then I dropped $1 million out of my pocket. And like, wait, we already know you have money, though. You didn't have to. You could have just said cash. Like, but I don't begrudge him.
Like
just
you like, said,
oh, you're flossing.
It's Doc Rivers. He's a nice guy.
He's a much more likable coach.
But at the same
coach.
Time, Very I can't much. Argue with Barry simply because of the fact that he did. He gave a specific amount. And again, I don't know if it was also to get people to start like, whoa. Why is anyone these days walking around with $2,000 in their pocket?
I don't even, like, most times have $5 on me because I don't carry cash.
I don't think, yeah, I didn't understand all that. So I'm going to side with Barry. I think that he was also kind of making a statement, too, that he's got cash money.
Yeah. Any of these hoes in Oakland want to play?
No, don't say Oakland now, because even when they play in Oakland like they still do for this year,
yeah.
Everybody's staying in Frisco because they don't like Oakland. No,
yeah. Uh-huh. Well, Doc likes cash in his pocket. If you like cash in your pocket, you need to download the GetUpside app. That's where the play is at. Where I'm telling you right now, man, some of you listeners have gotten to me and said, hey, man, I'm using this app and it's great, and I'm glad you guys are. But some of you out there listening, some of you guys haven't downloaded GetUpside yet. What are you waiting on? It gets you cash back on gas and food. You know, the stuff you're already spending money on. Here's what you do. Download GetUpside because it's completely free. It's in your app store, whatever phone you have. And put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, that's my name, and start getting cash back. And that promo code is going to get you extra savings on your first fill-up. How cool is that? My wife used my promo code, and the GetUpside app got 30 cents a gallon cash back on her first fill-up. It's that simple. You can get up to 25 cents a gallon all over town, over 500 gas stations. There's some just around my house that have like $0.09, $0.10 a gallon, just on average. So it's real easy to find those. You just pull up the map, search your area, and you'll see not just gas stations, but food as well. Wendy's, Popeyes, Burger King, up to 35% cash back when you eat out. Now, look, if you eat out, you know, four times this week and you went to one of these restaurants that's in GetUpside and you got 25% back in cash, that's like eating for free. Why are you leaving money at the table? Why are you leaving money at the pump? Download GetUpside, put in promo code Barry, get that cash back. Thank me later.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
I'm waking up to ash and dust. I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number one, 3 hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Always appreciate y'all taking us on the go wherever you may be, work, pleasure, or otherwise on your Tuesday. Nick, I don't know if you've already peeped your inbox, but 2 hours earlier than normal, Barry's list is already in.
I just looked at it.
For Way Back Wednesday.
Just looked at it.
This has been a good show, though.
Yeah.
So,
no wonder you were so quiet in the second segment.
I was very participatory in that.
Really?
We didn't
Nick,
even decide.
He's got a lot going on. He said that,
said
so
like
we got it
words.
Done to save time.
We didn't even decide until the third segment, so don't give me that.
Whatever.
I think it was the second segment, but it's fine.
Well, at some point in there, maybe.
Yeah.
I feel like there's plenty of music left, though.
I hope Fat Pat was in one of those years. That's all I can say.
Yeah, that'll be on there for sure.
No doubt.
This list
about
isn't
it.
That good, bro.
You looked at it?
Yeah.
All right.
So on Twitter, Joseph Martinez said, I respectfully disagree with Barry that the Clippers have more talent and depth than the Nets. And also the Nets were second in the NBA in bench scoring this season. I think they are very similar, even teams. They were second to who? Go ahead, take a guess.
Second in what?
Bench scoring. Go ahead and take a guess Toronto who they were Raptors. Second to. The Clippers.
Oh, a full
what, 5.5 points per game? And that doesn't sound like a lot, but when you look at NBA averages, five points a game on average per bench is not – it's a pretty wide gap. So they were second to the Clippers. And also, I mean, you had mentioned they're a pretty good shooting team. In the playoffs, they were 25th in the league in shooting. They were 24th. Turnovers. I mean, this Brooklyn, they won 42 games in the East, and yeah, the Clippers won 48 in the West. So I'm going to disagree with you disagreeing with me disagreeing and all that.
Can I give you a little Joseph. Ammo? I was going to say, can I give you a little ammo too? Joseph's a big Brooklyn Nets fan.
Oh, well, so he likes garbage-ass teams with that garbage-ass take.
Are we talking about KJ? Or?
No, Joseph, no. Joseph like drives.
No, that's so hating ass Kevin.
Because he sent something to me that said I respectfully disagree as well.
Oh no,
so I thought you were talking about the same
Joseph Martinez who was respectfully disagreeing with me. Well then I
Joseph
respectfully will let
goes
you know.
To see the Nets here. He drives to Dallas to see them there. He'll drive to San Antonio to see them there. He's
the
a Nets?
Nets
fan. Yeah, he's wow. a big Nets fan.
He said that their bench was good. That's because their starting five is trash.
But here's the other thing to take into consideration, regardless of all that, just in terms of what their shooting percentage is. Much like the Rockets' offense, Kenny Atkinson is the guy that wants everybody shooting threes at all times, whether you're a big, you know, or a small forward or their guards. And some of them just shouldn't be shooting them. But it's kind of like what we talked about with Daniel House and guys like that. Like, if you're open, you got to shoot that thing. But I think their guards shoot it pretty well.
What, the three? Or yeah, I mean, that's telling you field
Joe
goal
Harris,
percentage
who was
wise,
in the who,
they were 25th in the league.
Did he
in
win
field
the three-point shootout in the All-Star game? But he was there, and Russell shoots it well. They got some guys that can shoot it
they
a little
were
bit.
14th in the league, tied with Milwaukee for three-point percentage. I mean, it's not bad. It's right in the middle, you know? But, yeah, field goal percentage-wise, they were bottom five. So, plus, I mean, turnovers, stuff like that, that's something you don't want to be top five in, and they were 24th in the league in turnovers,
right?
Almost 14 and a half a game. Again, I'll just all you gotta do is look at records. They managed to scrape by a 42-40 record in the East. They're not that good, bro. And the Clippers at 48-34 in the West, that's a much tougher conference. So
fair enough. All right.
I don't think these two teams are vastly different. I'm not saying that the Clippers are they're just head and shoulders, but I don't think they're the same team for several different reasons. I'm not trashing the Nets. I'm just saying I think the Clippers are a better squad overall, deeper.
And that's fair. So, so we've got games to go to tonight. Rockets play tomorrow night against the Jazz in game two. As we kind of touched on, though, obviously imperative. They take care of business as quick as possible to capitalize on everything Golden State's going through and also be as healthy as possible. That's why the other night, the one thing that I will say about the Rockets game that concerned me was when they had the big, big lead in the fourth quarter with just, I think, 5 minutes to play. How Chris and James were still in the game kind of bothered me. I was like, if this is a regular season, I know James doesn't like to sit down, and he had a lot to, you know, with the MVP race to do, but I don't take any chances. If they're up big in the fourth quarter, those two guys should be sitting down.
Yeah, I'm with you. If you have a 20-something point lead, and they eventually got everybody out, but maybe it was a little later than you'd like to see. But, yeah, James has been durable. He's tough.
Sure.
You don't want him tired, but, I mean, he's one of the 3, 4, 5 best players in the NBA. He shouldn't be getting tired. He takes care of his body. Apparently, I didn't know this, but they said he's in the gym all the time, working out.
He never used to be. I can tell you that. But now, maybe he's turned over a new leaf.
But Chris Paul?
That's...
Hell. I might, as soon as I go up 15 in the fourth, I might rest him. Hey, come here. Sit next to me. Until something happens.
You know those, what do they call it? They have the hyperbaric chambers the guys use. Yeah. But then they have those snow pants that like inflate your leg. I'd have those snow pants waiting on the bench and put Chris, take your shoes off, put your jammies on, blow those things up, you're done.
Put your jammies on. Can we just put them in like a bubble?
Because that's what they look like. They look
bubble
like
wrap.
They look like inflatable footy pajamas that these guys wear for their lower extremities. Just get those bad boys on and plug it in. You're done.
Maybe put him in a hamster ball. Then he doesn't even really have to run. He could just roll everywhere and not pull any muscles.
Well, you know the other thing that
wouldn't hurt my feelings.
I don't know if you guys know this or not, but the Hydro treadmill and the Rockets have one.
Yeah. What is that?
It literally is weightless cardio. So you're on a treadmill.
What do you think Hydro means?
I don't know what it means. I know what you're getting at. Don't even go there.
I'm just saying, if you heard the words hydro, I don't know what a hydro treadmill is.
I didn't think
it
was weed. I know what you're talking about.
No, that's not where I'm headed. If you had hydro and treadmill, I know what treadmill is. What does hydro usually mean? I'm going to guess this is a treadmill in water.
You want to get your ding button out?
Wrong or right?
He's right. He's really? Absolutely right.
I wouldn't have known.
Really?
So
no.
They use the water.
Hydro doesn't necessarily mean.
I love that I'm thinking water and you were thinking weed.
I thought it was making fun of me for like thinking it was something else. I really didn't know what it was.
No. I'm just messing with
you. Yeah, I knew he was messing with you.
Yeah, but I didn't even think about weed until you said it. And I was like, ooh, that's a good point.
Yeah, hydroponic.
Yeah.
So essentially what they do, and they have it, and I believe they still have it the way they had it set up when I was there, where it's like a mini swimming pool with a treadmill in it, and it's weightless running, so you get your cardio up, but you don't have that pounding on the joints in your legs. And then they also have it where it's lined up with a window, like a fish tank, so the trainers and everything can look and see structurally and if you know where how the leg is reacting and all these other things as they get more technologically advanced. But most teams have them.
How much are those things?
Oh God,
they're probably at least 10 grand, right?
Oh no, oh, like boy, 80.
Much?
Oh yeah,
I bet.
Yep.
Golly.
And the Rockets are one of the first teams to have one. Matter of fact, I want to say that Mattress Mack and Westside were thinking about it if they didn't put it in. But then when we moved into Toyota Center, they were one of the first teams, if not the first team, to have one of those things.
Oh, you know it's expensive when you go to a website to buy one and it just says call for info.
Yeah, that means you're going to...
That's a dead giveaway.
It's draining your bank account. Yeah. I mean, there's some that are... That are worth like $23,000, $8,000, but that's probably not of the same. Like,
right.
Because at the Rockets, it's probably got to be more industrial considering they're using it a lot more. I'm assuming the consumer version is not.
I would go to Academy and just buy a treadmill and a baby pool and then put the treadmill in the baby pool.
And plug it in?
Fill it up, yeah.
Because then you got some bigger problems, you can Barry. Get a now manual. You're telling someone to basically kill themselves.
You can get a manual. You don't have to get an electric treadmill. You can get the manual ones. My wife gets so mad at me because, like, when it comes to exercise equipment, she'll be like, I want a new treadmill. I want an elliptical. I'm like, all right. And I always go to Academy and buy the cheapest one, and it breaks within, like, a month. And she gets so pissed off. Like, I bought her a manual treadmill.
They still exist?
Those are so mean.
You know,
man.
The self-propelled ones?
Yeah, that's it.
I flew off one of those as a kid in Academy.
In Academy?
Yeah, I was like, man, my mom's around shopping, so I jumped on this self-propelled treadmill, the brake was like this massive bar that's on the side of it that you had to pull, and I was like, where's the freaking brake? And I flew off that damn treadmill. I probably did 2 or 3 rolls.
Is that the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you?
I was a kid.
Like,
I didn't care, man. I was probably
seven. Did you hit your head?
Yeah. I was like 8 or 9 years old.
Nice.
I didn't care. I did not care at all.
Most embarrassing thing I ever did as a kid, and it was my own fault, not like that, but I was, this was back in the breakdancing days, and I was at Visible Changes with my mom, and she was getting her hair cut, and I was just sitting there on the couch. And then they started playing. I don't know what the hell they were playing, but I was like, ooh, that's my jam. And I just jumped up and started breakdancing right in the middle of Visible Changes. And they formed a circle around me. And then I realized, what am I doing? I'm at Visible Changes right now. And then my mom and like, she's like, she was embarrassed because she's like, what is he doing? And she's trying to be a proud mom at the same. It was the stupidest thing. I was like, why am I breakdancing in Visible Changes right now?
Sans parachute pants?
I don't even remember what the hell I was wearing. I just remember looking up at one point thinking, oh, I'm getting it. And then I was like, what am I doing? I was so like, just, I had a, I don't know, a flat, like a moment of.
At the mall.
Dumbassness.
Right?
Yeah. In the Visible Changes.
With the window that everybody can see.
Yeah.
All right.
Like an idiot.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, so we got 1 hour in the book, still 2 hours to go with the big show. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, why don't you join us? 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. You can call that number, text that number, or hit us up on Twitter. Before we head to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing, because, look, with the rain that we've had recently, some people are still trying to recover from all of the devastation of the natural disasters recently. Bottom line is, if you need anything done to your roof, there's only one place to call, and that's Fitz Roofing, because there are storm chasers out there, deposit thieves, sketchy roofers that are going to try and get your money up front and then skip town while doing a really, really crappy job on your roof. That's not Fitz Roofing. They're locally owned and operated. They're here in the city of Houston and the surrounding areas to serve you with any and all of your roofing needs. Start out with the fact that they use CertainTeed shingles, the best product on the market, and in fact, they are a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company. Only 1% of the roofers in the U.S. meet that criteria to get that status. They got it. You need it. Go see Fitz. They're based warranties longer than your average roofer, and their ratings are through the roof. Ha, see what I did there? A-plus rating on Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on both Facebook and Home Advisor. There's only one place to go if you need roofing in the Houston area, and that's Fitz Roofing. And more so than anything else, the most important thing is you get a free, no-obligation inspection just by getting in contact with them. Call them, 832-521-3001 or Fitz Roofing, FITZ Roofing.com. Either way, reach out to them. They'll come to your place and do a free, no-obligation inspection, let you know what you need, and they'll go away. If you want them to come back, just reach back out to them, and they will be there in a jiff to make sure that they take care of your roof. It's Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.